be accused of being reactionary, nor is he a saber-rattler. But the man whose enlightened leadership helped guide what was once the world's greatest navy into the 20th century is clearly worried for America. Elmo R. Zumwalt, Bud, to his friends, the former chief of naval operations, is mission-bound to inform his countrymen that the hour is indeed late, that we are in mortal danger of surrendering all we hold precious because our leaders, not the people, are intimidated by one superpower, the Soviet Union. U.S. foreign policy, he feels, is muted. Our citizens are confused, and it is this crisis of leadership that has induced Admiral Zumwalt to speak out. Listen to Admiral Elmo Zumwalt as he makes waves.
Some people say that the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan is a watershed event in history. I say it's too early to tell. Hitler's march to power in Germany was punctuated by a whole series of allied disasters. Invasions of the Saar, the Rhineland, the Sudetenland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, and Poland. Only after the invasion of Poland were Herculean efforts made to regain military power, the absence of which had whetted Hitler's avarice. So it is today. Let's look at some of the political actions that President Carter has taken against Soviet aggression. He's embargoed U.S. grain and sought to get our allies to do the same, reduced the sale of technology to the Russians, organized U.N. condemnation of the Soviet invasion, and threatened to embargo the 1980 Moscow Olympics. In the military field, the president's actions, like Chamberlain's in the 1930s, are so far too little and too late. Carter says he's asking for increased defense expenditures of 4.5%. And that he has added to the budget another 9% to allow for inflation. That's not fooling anybody. Military experts recognize that as pure presidential politics. Inflation in military expenditures is running at 13.5%. Carter's 9% for inflation and 4.5% for increased forces results actually in just compensating for a true 13.5% inflation rate. It provides a standstill budget with no increase in military power. This kind of talk, and ineffectual action, is what led Hitler to believe after each of his aggressions that he could get away with the next one. The Russians may have learned their lessons well, but have we? What do you think?
He can't be accused of being reactionary, nor is he a saber-rattler. But the man whose enlightened leadership helped guide what was once the world's greatest navy into the 20th century is clearly worried for America. Elmo R. Zumwalt, Bud, to his friends, the former chief of naval operations, is mission-bound to inform his countrymen that the hour is indeed late, that we are in mortal danger of surrendering all we hold precious because our leaders, not the people, are intimidated by one superpower, the Soviet Union. U.S. foreign policy, he feels, is muted. Our citizens are confused, and it is this crisis of leadership that has induced Admiral Zumwalt to speak out. Listen to Admiral Elmo Zumwalt as he makes waves.
Some people say that the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan is a watershed event in history. I say it's too early to tell. Hitler's march to power in Germany was punctuated by a whole series of allied disasters. Invasions of the Saar, the Rhineland, the Sudetenland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, and Poland. Only after the invasion of Poland were Herculean efforts made to regain military power, the absence of which had whetted Hitler's avarice. So it is today. Let's look at some of the actions that President Carter has taken against Soviet aggression. He has embargoed U.S. grain and sought to get our allies to do the same, reduced the sale of technology to the Russians, organized U.N. condemnation of the Soviet invasion, threatened to embargo the 1980 Moscow Olympics. In the military field, the president's actions, like Chamberlain's in the 1930s, are so far too little and too late. Carter says that he is asking for increased defense expenditures of 4.5%. And that he has added to the budget another 9% to allow for inflation. That's not fooling anybody. Military experts recognize that as pure presidential politics. Inflation in military expenditures is running at 13.5%. Carter's 9% for inflation and 4.5% for increased forces results actually in just compensating for the true 13.5% inflation rate, and thus provides for a standstill budget with no increase in military power. This kind of talk and ineffectual action is what led Hitler to believe after each of his aggressions that he could get away with the next one. The Russians may have learned their lessons well, but have we? What do you think?
He can't be accused of being reactionary, nor is he a saber rattler. But the man whose enlightened leadership helped guide what was once the world's greatest navy into the 20th century is clearly worried for America. Elmo R. Zumwalt, Bud, to his friends, the former chief of naval operations, is mission-bound to inform his countrymen that the hour is indeed late, that we are in mortal danger of surrendering all we hold precious because our leaders, not the people, are intimidated by one superpower, the Soviet Union. U.S. foreign policy, he feels, is muted. Our citizens are confused, and it is this crisis of leadership that has induced Admiral Zumwalt to speak out. Listen to Admiral Elmo Zumwalt as he makes waves.
Moscow's invasion of Afghanistan is bad news for Americans. Russia moves another step closer to total control of the Middle East. The only good news for the United States in the Middle East is the strength and loyalty of Israel. I think that Moscow invaded Afghanistan for five reasons: Soviet strength in strategic nuclear forces and in armies, navies, and air forces is now superior to that of the United States. The U.S. was perceived as lacking in will, as in the present Iranian crisis. Control of Afghanistan moves Moscow closer to the warm water ports of the Indian Ocean and extends containment of China. Moscow wanted to seal off 45 million Soviet Muslims in her southern provinces from external Muslim revolutionary fervor. Soviet control of Middle East oil can force NATO and the U.S. to accommodate to future Kremlin demands. President Carter is now addressing himself to political counteractions. The U.S. grain and technology embargo, the United Nations condemnation of the Soviet Union, the threatened embargo of the 1980 Moscow Olympics. These are political actions designed to show an increased U.S. will to deny Moscow the fruits of military victory. Our military planning calls for increased aid to Pakistan, greater cooperation with China, the use of bases on the shores of the Indian Ocean, the creation of a U.S. Navy Indian Ocean fleet, and a rapid reaction force. But the single most important balance wheel in the Middle East is the existence of a well-armed, well-trained Israeli military force. In the Jordan crisis in September 1970, Israel's forces, poised and ready to enter Syria if needed, were instrumental in forcing Syrian forces to withdraw from Jordan. Israel's forces, coordinated with ours, put an upper limit on Soviet freedom in the Middle East, while the U.S. regains the military strength with which to discourage Soviet aggressions. What do you think?
He can't be accused of being reactionary, nor is he a saber rattler. But the man whose enlightened leadership helped guide what was once the world's greatest navy into the 20th century is clearly worried for America. Elmo R. Zumwalt, Bud, to his friends, the former chief of naval operations, is mission-bound to inform his countrymen that the hour is indeed late, that we are in mortal danger of surrendering all we hold precious, because our leaders, not the people, are intimidated by one superpower, the Soviet Union. U.S. foreign policy, he feels, is muted. Our citizens are confused, and it is this crisis of leadership that has induced Admiral Zumwalt to speak out. Listen to Admiral Elmo Zumwalt as he makes waves.
Moscow's invasion of Afghanistan is bad news for Americans. Russia moves another step closer to total control of the Middle East. The only good news for us in the United States is the strength and loyalty of Israel. I think that Moscow invaded Afghanistan for five reasons: Soviet strength in strategic nuclear forces and in armies, navies, and air forces is now superior to that of the United States. The U.S. was perceived as lacking in will, as in the present Iranian crisis. Control of Afghanistan moves Moscow closer to the warm water ports of the Indian Ocean and extends the containment of China. Moscow wanted to seal off 45 million Soviet Muslims in her southern provinces from external Muslim revolutionary fervor. And Soviet control of Middle East oil can force NATO and the U.S. to accommodate to future Kremlin demands. President Carter is now addressing himself to political counteractions. The U.S. grain and technology embargo, a U.N. condemnation of the Soviet Union, a threatened embargo of the 1980 Moscow Olympics. These are political counteractions designed to show an increased U.S. will to deny Moscow the fruits of military victory. U.S. military planning calls for the increased aid to Pakistan, greater cooperation with China, the use of military bases on the shores of the Indian Ocean, the creation of a U.S. Navy Indian Ocean fleet, and a rapid reaction force. But the single most important balance wheel in the Middle East is the existence of a well-armed, well-trained Israeli military force. In the Jordan crisis in September 1970, Israel's forces, poised and ready to enter Syria if needed, were instrumental in forcing Syrian forces to withdraw. I believe that Israel's forces, coordinated with ours, put an upper limit on Soviet freedom in the Middle East, while the U.S. regains its military strength with which to discourage future Soviet aggression. What do you think?